Good evening, everybody. This is fabulous. So today's lesson is, what I actually wanted to say was just welcome to this fabulous place in Harris Manchester College. And many thanks to the college for having us here. I'm Damien Robinson. I'm Professor of Maritime Archaeology here in Oxford, and I'm the Director of the Oxford Centre for Maritime Archaeology. And I've also worked with tonight's speaker, Frank Gollier, for a considerable time now. And I'm delighted that he's here with us tonight to officially begin our conference, Alexandria and the Sea 2. Alexandria and the Sea 1 was unfortunately cancelled due to COVID. But thanks to the encouragement and the support from our funders at the Hilty Foundation, particularly Christine Romberg, who nudged us both to get back on with this, we're here today in person, and so it's great that everybody could travel both from Oxford, but also from much wider to be with us. So thank you very much for all coming here. And the second reason that I'm delighted that Frank's with us today is to celebrate the publication of his latest book on the Iseum of Antirrhodos Island. So this started off as a paper in the online version of Alexandria and the Sea, and then just kind of grew into a book from that. And I think what it shows is the value of long-term scientific research in the Portus Magnus, of Frank and his team in the European Institute for Underwater Archaeology, where they've been working since 1992, carefully mapping, excavating, studying the finds, and now publishing this fascinating archaeological site. So for me, it's a privilege to work as part of this vibrant team. Tonight, Frank is going to introduce us to another temple, not the Iseum, but the Poseidon, and to situate it within the port and the city. So I can probably feel another book coming on from this, but over to you, Frank.
Thank you. Thank you, Daniel, for your nice words. Thank you to everybody for your presence. Yes, tonight I would like to make a presentation of one of the few temples which could have been located in Alexandria. Very few temples to date were located in Alexandria, ancient city. We know about the presence of a temple to Poseidon thanks to Strabo. Strabo, in his description of the Portus Magnus, say, "The Poseidon, an elbow, as it were, projecting from the Emporium, as it called, and containing a temple to Poseidon." I have always been surprised by this sentence. Why Strabo is putting and calling that peninsula Poseidon? He could only have said the temple of Poseidon is on a peninsula. But he names the peninsula from as Poseidon. Thus, it must had some information about what was this peninsula. And as a matter of fact, doing the survey and the underwater excavation on the Poseidon, we were able to discover that that peninsula was much more than bearing a temple and a sanctuary to Poseidon, as you will see further. We have the east port of Alexandria, which covers, as per today, 668 hectares, which is a huge area. And on that area, we have, since 1992, performed a lot of electronic survey and underwater excavation. You can see here on that map a multi-beam bathymetric coverage, meaning the relief of the bottom of the sea. And you can see a kind of a shadow of what was the Portus Magnus in the antiquity. After 20 years of work, we are now able to present a precise map of the contour of the Portus Magnus as it were during the Ptolemaic time, and we have a version of the Portus Magnus in the Roman time, which changed a little bit. You have here the Portus Magnus as it was during the Ptolemaic time, at the end of the Ptolemaic time. The Portus Magnus has been divided by Strabo in two main elements. East of it, what he calls the Royal Quarters, and west of it, the Navaya, the shipyard, and the trade dock. We will focus our interest on the Royal Quarters. On the Royal Quarters, we have now defined the contour of the sunken land, but also identified several important monuments. And of course, you can see here on that map that there is only one peninsula, the one described by Strabo, which is in the middle of the Royal Quarters. You can see that peninsula on a multi-beam bathymetric map here. And this peninsula, as you can see, is located between the military ports, which are in the north, and a central port, which is the Emporium port, which has a perfect shape as Kibotos, box. But it was not the Kibotos being on the west port of Alexandria. That peninsula is named the Poseidon. The underwater excavation will indeed reveal that far from bearing only a temple to this god, Poseidon, it was a whole sacred complex proceeding from a grandiose urban concept which has been created to the glory of this god of primordial importance for Alexandria, of course. Let us zoom on the basis of that Poseidon, that peninsula here. We have here a detailed bathymetric map, multi-beam, of the base of this peninsula. North, you have the military port with some moles and caves, and south, the Emporium port. And the basis of that peninsula covers 3.5 hectares, which is quite a huge area. You can see yet a post on that map, all the red granite columns that has been identified during our survey and sometimes excavation. Of course, it's not representing all of the red granite columns, but you can see the several hundreds fragments of granite, red granite columns spot in that area. And with my pointer, you can see here a long line of in another color, which has a line of wooden posts. Thus, we can say that the whole basis of that Poseidon has been reinforced by wooden posts, as we will see. Let us zoom now on the north part of that basis here. There, we were able to find and excavate by spot excavation, not totally excavated, of course, a 250 long colonnaded street. And the column on each part of that huge alley, that colonnaded street, are red granite columns with molding at their two extremities, and their diameter is 70 to 60 centimeters each of these. But what is very interesting is that the basement of that colonnaded street is formed by cofferdam made of wooden posts and plankings retaining mortar with limestone embedded in the mortar. This was done, of course, to have a very solid ground to support all of those red granite columns. And what is very impressive is that this pattern is found all alongside that colonnaded street. And that colonnaded street, you can see here about 250 meters of it, but it goes toward what is now the Corniche of Alexandria, and it links exactly a spot which is now the center of Bibliotheca Alexandrina to the Poseidon. It's very fascinating. You can see here a representation of the wooden post here and of the plankings in between the wooden post and the mortar with limestone embedded into it. It's a 300 meter cofferdam done beautifully built. Here you can see samples of these red granite columns with the two moldings at their extremity here. And we have some of them of 50 centimeter diameter also in some spots. So they were all, not all of the same diameter and length. Of course, we have performed wood identification and a lot of carbon 14 analysis on this wooden post and plankings. Most of the posts are from humus, imported wood. And the dating seems quite early in the Ptolemaic time. Same for the plankings, humus, and which have datation perfectly coherent, very early in the Ptolemaic time. Thus, this, that is the basement of this colonnaded street, has been created early in the Ptolemaic time. Now, let us go towards the southwest. That long colonnaded street is leading to a vast square, an agora, a beautifully paved square. And here also, we have a very peculiar foundation pattern. Around the square, is exactly the same foundation made with cofferdam and mortar with limestone embedded into it. In the middle of this agora are only wooden posts but not mortar. And to the periphery of that agora, you have of course to consider that the red granite columns, which are represented by pink spots, have fallen and are not in their exact position, original position. But you can see that this agora was surrounded with colonnaded columns. A very interesting thing also we can say about that the pavement. Among the pavement, we found ancient anchor. We have excavated 15% of that agora, and on the 15% area, we found 45 of those ancient anchor. Thus, the relation with Poseidon is here quite interesting. Ancient anchor were used among the pavement to make the flooring of that vast agora here. We have done also analysis on the wood, which was in the middle of that agora and reinforced with wooden posts and planking the ground of the agora, but not on the periphery. On the periphery, we had exactly the same pattern than the coordinated street, and in the middle, the wooden post, most of them were from cedar. Cedrus libani, imported wood, very expensive wood at that time, and the planking were of pine. And the datation does fit exactly with the datation of the foundation of the coordinated street, very early Ptolemaic time. Thus, we are here in presence of an infrastructure which has been conceived at the beginning of the Ptolemaic time, 3rd or early 2nd century BC. Seeing from far, thus you have this colonnaded street leading to the agora. But you can see here that south of the agora, you have evidence of very important archaeological remain. And we will zoom into that square now. You have here the multimetric bathymetry of that area, which give a 10 centimeter accuracy. But in order to have a better view of it, we have done a general stereo photogrammetry of the whole area on 70 by 50 meter, which represent, I think, about 18,000 pictures taken by Christophe Gehry, which were assembled. And we have a very clear vision of that area here. You can see there quite well organized vestiges inside that rectangle here. And we have performed excavation. And we discover that it is a remain of a very important monument. The center of that monument is founded on a mortar base, very important mortar base, 1.5 meter thick. All around that mortar base, you have the remain of the limestone block of the monument, and south and southwest of it, you have all alongside that monument, fragment of the column which were proceeding from that monument and which collapsed towards the south-southwest. Interesting also, if you can follow my pointer, we were able here, of course, under this mortar block we could not excavate because it's a huge mortar block that we have no access under, but here, as the mortar has been totally dismantled during an earthquake, obviously, we could find wooden posts which were reinforcing the ground, most probably everywhere under that mortar. We could prove it here with several rows of posts, and a little bit here and there with some remain of wooden posts, if you follow my pointer. And we have a very impressive amount of red granite columns proceeding from that temple. Yes, the presence of this mortar foundation is with limestone embedded into it is consistent with the construction practices, particularly in regions with unfavorable, of course, or unstable soil condition, which is attested here, of course, by the presence of the wooden post and planking, which we are reinforcing the ground. The hydraulic mortar was perfectly well adapted, of course, given the proximity of the sea and also the high groundwater level. We were able, with the excavation, to draw a layout of that monument, which is developed here on nearly 50 meters long. And from the stereophotogrammetry, if you follow my pointer, you can see here the evidence of a large square where, which is covered with a mortar. And as a surrounding of it, you have a very well organized remain of limestone ashur, which are the remain, of course, of the crepidomia. Now, we were able to register, to list all the fragments of the red granite columns. And we were surprised, because those columns are from different diameters. The more columns, the great number of columns had a diameter 85 to 80 centimeters. We have also fragments of 75 to 70 centimeters, fragment to 65 to 60 centimeters, and we go even down to 55 to 50, 35 to 30. The ashrar are all the same, 1.2 meter by 50 by 50. Very well calibrated, beautiful, preserved. In another place of the Portus Magnus, at the tip of the Royal Island of Enterodos, we had the chance to discover intact columns, an intact red granite column similar to those ones. But the length of that column is 5.6 meters, and its diameter range from 83 to 80 centimeters, and the ratio length, diameter length, give us a ratio of 7. Thus, a column of 80 centimeters had about 5.6 meters long, and of course, a column of 60 to 65, were 4.2 to 4.5 meters long. Of course, this is an hypothesis, but taking into account that the columns are all alongside that temple, we can assess with certainty that it was a peripteral temple, meaning a temple surrounded with column. It did not have only the column at its facade, but all around that, the temple. And those columns must be, of course, the biggest one, which fit perfectly, the column of 85 to 80 centimeter diameter, with a length of about 6 meters, more or less. Then Where could we put, in this case, distribute the column? First, taking into account the diameter of the column, 85 to 80 centimeter, the biggest one, and taking into account a reasonable intercolunation distance between the axis of two columns, most probably this temple had 8 columns on each facet. Thus, it was most probably an octostyle peripteral temple, surrounded with the column. The 75 to 70 columns, in this case, must have been on each part of the temple, first on the pronaos, if you follow my pointer, it's here, and it does correspond nicely with the place where we found them, around here, and here on what could have been the opistodomos, excuse me, the opistodomos, though we are not sure whether the pronaos was towards the southeast or towards the northwest. Thus, because, of course, during excavation, we were not able to have that type of a precision. But we will see that we can draw some hypotheses after. Then, where to put the columns of 65 to 60 centimeter diameter, most probably in the cella, here. And this would have given more or less, it's because fragments are, of course, missing, which has been recuperated, and most probably there were intact columns which have been recuperated during centuries. Most probably we had six columns in a row, meaning 12 columns in the cella of 65 centimeter diameter. These are hypotheses, but they are the most probable hypotheses, taking into account what is left on the ground. The temple, the dimension of the basis of that temple, the crepidoma, was 43.5 meter to 18.5, which is quite a sizable temple. And the sanctuary by itself was 35.5 by 11 meter there. Another feature, interesting feature, is that towards the southwest, you have several mortar blocks or a very big mortar block which has been destroyed during an earthquake in the axis of the sanctuary. And of course, one of the hypotheses could be that this was the main altar for the temple. Of course, the altar of the Greek temple were outside the temple. Here it would fit quite nicely. But in this case, the temple would have been open towards the southeast, which means towards the city. The direction of the temple is exactly southeast-northwest, on the southeast-northwest axis. The question, of course, is the identity of that temple. Very few artifacts, you will see after, have been found of that temple, but we are on the peninsula, and it's the only important monument spotted in that peninsula. Thus, we can say with nearly certainty that we are in the presence of the Temple of Poseidon, which was a very important sanctuary. Now, the question arises whether this temple was open towards the northwest or the southeast. Of course, the presence of those mortar blocks towards the southeast could lead us to say, okay, it's open towards the southeast. But you will see further that other elements could challenge this conclusion. We made, of course, wood analysis and carbon-14 analysis on the wooden post, and here we were surprised. We are no longer in the early Ptolemaic time, but we are early Roman time. Thus, when Strabo came to Alexandria, it was between 26 and 20 BC, according to the prefect which was in Alexandria, in Egypt at that time. And of course, when he's talking about the temple to Poseidon, he's describing a Ptolemaic temple. Thus, most probably we have here something which has been rebuilt during Roman time. The artifact. The artifact are more or less confirming that dating. We have very few ceramics. End of beginning of first century AD, Sigillata, but very few, artifacts, some semi-precious redstone, a little bit of jewelry, a nice ring which was left and escaped to the looting, and quite a lot of tokens. Lead tokens, which were of no interest for the looters. And as everywhere in all sanctuaries that we are excavating, whether in Aboukir Bey, in Tonis Herakleion, Canopus, or Alexandria, everywhere, small bit of gold, very strange jewelry scattered everywhere. Now, we have also the question where first the temple we are in presence today, the remain of the temple we are in presence today are obviously not the temple which Strabo is describing, but most probably we could suggest that a temple which has been not or destroyed, or which was too old at the time of early imperial period, has been rebuilt on the same site, more or less, in the middle of a 4th century BC environment. We have here the temple, and in white you have the axis of the temple towards the northwest. Let us see now what is towards the northwest in that area here. Just here. Here, the multi-beam bathymetry shows you that there are some interesting remains. And we performed several excavations on that area. We found out that it is a vast rectangle surrounded with very nice limestone ashlar of exactly of the same dimension than the one of the temple, 1.2 meter by 50 centimeter by 50 centimeter. But we could think, oh, maybe there was a monument there. But we were surprised. When we excavated, there was no remain whatsoever, except a vast rectangle filled with sand. Only if you follow what we will see after. And first, we took away the sand, and after 1 to 1.2 meter of sterile sand, there is a 40 centimeter thick layer of calcareous deposit in nodular concretion, and thick crust forming massive layer of carbonate incrustation of tubular fabrics from freshwater animal. Freshwater animal. Thus, during centuries, most probably, this rectangle, surrounded by a very nicely built wall, was filled with fresh water, fresh water. Because all those concretions correspond to formation in freshwater environment. We can say and assert that we are in the presence of a lake. A lake nearly 2 meters deep, 1.8 meters deep, etc. Because under the concretion, you find the bedrock. Nothing else. Flat bedrock. Thus, seen from far, you have the columnated street, the agora, and here the temple, and just in the axis of the temple, of exactly the same dimension than the crepidomia of the temple, was a lake. Now, in that lake, northwest of it, there is a very large, thick, broken block, 6 by 6 meters and 1.5 meters high. It's huge. It has been broken during an earthquake. Only an earthquake can break such a thing. And it does correspond to a massive base of a basement, and it's exactly centered on the axis of the temple and of the lake. And in the middle of the lake here, we have, but much smaller, some collapsed mortar blocks. And we have done excavation in the lake, where we have discovered here 3 fragments of a marble colossus statue. And here, an element of an obelisk. This fragment of an obelisk dates, most probably proceeding from Heliopolis, dates back from Seti I, and very interesting enough, we see other fragments of that obelisk has been found much further towards the south, the northwest. At their site, you can see here the fragment of the obelisk and one of the colossus fragment of a statue, which we were absolutely so eroded that it's absolutely unidentified. Here it looks like an elbow or something, but very difficult to identify. But there is something very interesting. We are here in the middle of the peninsula. That peninsula, when the temple has been destroyed, most probably in the 4th century AD, because nothing on that peninsula is more recent than for end of 4th century AD. We have here an earthquake in 365, which could correspond very well to the destruction of that monument. And but what is interesting is that that peninsula has obviously been above water for other quite a lot of centuries. Most probably, it has sunk in the 8th century, but it was totally abandoned. In some place, we found Byzantine gold coins, but it was at the extremity of it. And thus, If we are not on the seashore, most probably the remains of those monuments, the Colossus statue and the obelisk, were not far from their original place. Whereas on the western part of the coastline of the eastern port of Alexandria, other remains of the same order, meaning fragment of fasciculated columns, obelisks, sphinxes, architraves, lintel have been discovered. But they were alongside the seashore, and they were all coming from ancient destroyed sanctuaries, and they were thrown there to protect from marine erosion the monument which were being along the course at a much later period. But here we are not on the seashore. So there is not a single reason why an element of an obelisk would have an other red granite fragments that we found, of course, would have been thrown in the middle of the port. Thus, we can say that most probably the obelisk here was not far from his original place. If we see the map, you have the lake, the basement, the used basement here, the Colossus statue here, and the obelisk there. It's of course tempting to say that original obelisk was exactly on that basement, because it corresponds very well to the falling direction for all the columns and all the usher of the temple. But it's an assumption, of course. But seen from far, we have a very interesting fact. You can see here, if you follow my pointer, the temple, the lake, the basement, exactly on the same axis. But look north of that. The axis of the columnated street cross exactly the two axes at the basement point. Thus, it cannot be a random thing. It was done on purpose, of course, because you have a 300 meter coronated street leading to an agora, and in the axis of the coronated street, a very big base, which would have supported what? It could be an altar, it could be a colossal statue, it could be an obelisk. This is up to our imagination, of course, but there was something very big here, which could have been seen from more than 300 meters away. The 3D would show you how those arrangement of monuments and coordinated street were done, with the temple, the peripteral temple, octostyle, the lake, the big base, and this coordinated street, the agora. Here there is no assumption. It's a just fact. After this, we can have some assumption, but here, except for, of course, the pattern of that temple, which was most probably looking like this one, they are just archaeological facts. Let us go further. Let us follow the same axis, because it looks interesting to follow that axis here. Let us go northwest, where you see the round red circle here. What is there? Very interesting thing. We have archaeological remains here, but it's not organized. It's very it has been heavily looted, heavily perturbated, but there is columns of 30 centimeter diameter, which it's not big. It corresponds to a column of 2.5 meter high. Thus, we are on the small, and with a small column capitol fitting with it, with them. And all around, we found interesting remains also. You will see. We found in the ground, under the pavement, some bronze statuette or element, broken element of bronze statuette everywhere. The ceramic, it's extremely poor in ceramic. Thus, the ceramic we found was really at the bottom layer. Thus, it doesn't date at all, dates at all that century. When it has been destroyed, because the upper level has been totally eroded by the wave and the swell. And what remains is only the heavy element which were in the ground, which has disappeared. I forgot to say that more or less 3 meters of ground have been disappearing from the erosion. And on the lower level, we are finding ceramic from end, very early Ptolemaic time, end of 4th century, very beginning of 3rd century here, small element and bits of broken bronze statuette, head of a prince, of a priest, very impressive, it's a beautiful head of a priest. And sphinxes, two sphinxes of quartzite. Again, a small bronze statuette, most probably this could be very well Poseidon. And at the same scale, a finger, bronze finger from a Colossus statue, very impressive Colossus statue. Thus, we are here most probably on a small salcellum, a small temple devoted to Poseidon. What is interesting is to see is the position of that temple here, which is very close from the quay of the military port, and those small statuettes, which are not of a exquisite qualities are nice, but must have been present and donation to that small sanctuary here. But again, you can see that online you have the temple to Poseidon, the lake, the base, and another small temple. Thus, we have here a 3D representation, of course, a small temple. We just can it's represented here as only to show that there was a temple there, but we don't know its shape. We know only that the columns were 30 centimeter in diameter, red granite columns. But you can see it's a wall, an ensemble of monument. Which were on the base of that Poseidon. And of course, we have now, if you see it from far, how to reintegrate the obelisk and the Colossus statue. We are here in hypothesis and imagination, of course, but we could think of an obelisk here, which this disposition has a very strong Roman flavor, because, of course, during Egyptian time, an obelisk will not be used as a focal point like that, but okay. If there were one obelisk only, most probably that obelisk was on the main basis that we found, which is here, because there is two bases we have here, but could it be also an altar? It could be. In this case, the temple will be open towards the lake and the altar, and it will be a very interesting set. We go back. Here we have a small temple, an altar, a lake, with most probably a colossus statue, most probably of Poseidon, of course, and the temple of Poseidon. Thus, the question remains whether this temple is turned towards the northwest or towards the southeast. Towards the southeast, it's interesting because most of the Poseidon temple are oriented towards the southeast, but it's in Greece, and the temple were always oriented toward a maritime horizon, which here is the maritime horizon is towards the northeast, not towards the southeast. That's the question remains. If we have this obelisk here, we could dream, of course, of a colossal statue of Poseidon there, but these are mere supposition. But let us go further, because that axis seems quite interesting. Thus, why don't we go alongside that axis, and let us go much further towards that axis of the temple and of the lake. Here, it just hit a spot where this is, of course, to be challenged and has been quite a challenge, but on a spot where the lighthouse could have been. In any case, that temple was oriented, the axis of that temple was going towards the entrance of the Portus Magnus, which makes sense. Here you have a maritime horizon for this temple to Poseidon. But if ever the lighthouse was there, with a statue of the Sever God on it, you have the temple, the lake, a monument, another temple, and the maritime horizon would have been the most famous maritime horizon of that time, the lighthouse of Alexandria. Thus, I think it's worth to think and to see what could have been the arrangement of this peninsula. And this could explain why Strabo is talking about, not about a peninsula, an elbow of land, the Poseidon, which bears the temple of Poseidon. But not only the temple of Poseidon, it was a whole grandiose urban arrangement with the columnated street, the agora paved with a limestone anchor, the temple to Poseidon, the lake, most probably a colossal statue of Poseidon, another monument, a small temple, and 1.5 kilometers after, exactly, very precisely, to half of a degree, maybe the lighthouse. Thus, I can say that the base of the peninsula of the Poseidon was developed as a vast sacred area dedicated to the savior god Poseidon in a grandiose architectural and urban planning concept. On the more than 3 meter colonnaded street, the agora, the lake, the temple, a small temple nearby the quay, where people could do their offering to the savior god. And there, the archaeology provides elements which complete and analyze Strabo formulation concerning the peninsula of the Poseidon, dedicated to this savior god, which was of a pristine importance, of course, for the Portus Magnus of Alexandria. And in this glass intaglio, you can see here Poseidon and the Rhytos in between Isis and Poseidon, which were, of course, two major gods, Isis protecting the fleet, and Poseidon, of course, the savior god, having a whole consecrated area on the peninsula, which was in the center of the royal quarter. Thank you very much.